Maybe we should let him preach. Hallelujah. I think he already read my mind and went on to chapter 10. He preached my whole message there in about 10 minutes. That's good, brother. That is really good. That's why we're here, right? It's all about the Lord. And hopefully you've understood that that is what has been happening in these three chapters of Scripture that we're going through. We're on a journey. Whether you know it or not, we've been on a journey, a scriptural journey, verse by verse, and you're seeing things the way God revealed them to me. I saw them for the first time, and I just love that aspect of the Bible is always fresh. Don't say, well, I've read it. I know it all. You never know it all. You can read the same verse 100 times, but the 101st time, God will reveal something new to you, and you'll see it like, why didn't I see that before? And that's going to happen again tonight. We are in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, and this is a particular section of what most preachers call, you know, the faith promise chapters of the Bible. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10 are the section. But they never, ever, I've never heard anybody preach out of these first couple verses in chapter 10. They always go to the end where, yeah, what you said, you know, having when your faith is increased, you know, will be enlarged. That's the faith promise message. But I think there's something really special to be found in the first part of chapter 10 that I've just never heard anybody in context preach. And so I'm asking for your attention again tonight. And thank you so much. You have all been so faithful in allowing your eyes and hearts and souls to be open to this. I know what it's like to have some ferner come in here and tell you what's going on. I do. I realize that. But just so the record's straight, I was born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I'm a Carolinian. Didn't live there. Then I became a Yankee, yeah. And then I transplanted to the South, and now I'm just global. I just travel anywhere in the world the Lord wants me to go, and I'm so thrilled with this ministry and the ability to just go around and meet new people. And here it is, because of those weaving of what God did, somehow I ended up here. And the Lord's really here with us, and I cannot get over how he does this. It's simple. There's nothing real profound about any of this we've been talking about or looking at, but just take in the Bible for what it is. Give the Word of God to the people of God that they can live for God. Amen. And that's really all we're doing. So let's look at chapter 10 and start right out. You remember, I hope everybody, I don't know if I see some fresh faces again tonight, and I hate that we've been on this journey and you're all just jumping on the wagon. I don't know where we're at. And so just real quickly again, this has been such a simple unveiling, and I believe there's without shadow of a doubt, this is where the principles of grace giving are given in Scripture. There's no doubt that there is a separate giving program that God has designed for the missions outreach program of every local New Testament church. He said, it's not going to be from the tithe. It's not going to be from your love offerings. I want you to give a special gift. Paul's laying it out, and he's really laying it heavy on the church at Corinth about this gift. Now, you guys promised a gift a year ago. We're coming to get it. Now, I just want to remind you, you know, the churches of Macedonia, all those churches up there, they're a great example to you. But Jesus himself is the best example of a grace gift. He gave of himself. He became poor that you might be rich. You understand, we've been down that many. And he gets up to this place and he gets right to the point. And he says, so, knowing this, that you're going to get this gift together, and I was a little bit nervous. You know, I want to be honest with you. I'm a little bit nervous. It was a year ago and you might have forgot because, you know, we're all human. So I sent some guys on ahead to remind you that you shouldn't be ashamed, that I won't be ashamed. You won't be ashamed, that everybody won't be ashamed, that when it comes time to put the figure on there or to get the bounty together, that nobody will be ashamed. I'm going to praise God for you, and you're going to praise God for what he's allowed you to do. So we're all going to be happy about this, right? That's kind of what he was doing. And then all of a sudden, bam, he gets, oh, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. He's just so excited. He's on cloud nine. You know, he's up here, way up here, and he goes, now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Those are the kind of verses everybody goes reads. Oh, that's nice. I have no idea what he's saying, you know? Do you know what he's saying right there? You have to read it three or four times to really get the sense that he's a little bit upset. Have you ever been frosted? You don't even know that term. Has your blood ever boiled? A couple times. Been so mad at somebody that you get your blood boiling? I call that frosted. I'm frosted, man. Because I'm from the north. You know, that's a Minnesota thing. Your blood boils down here, but you freeze up there. Right? So I get frosted. You get boiling. He's frosted too? Seriously, that's a human trait that we've all experienced. And Paul himself, I'm telling you, he was beside himself. These words, he controlled himself with these words. But he says, I am biting my tongue. I am clenching my teeth. I'm really upset about some people that are throwing out accusations about me and my entourage and my mission outreach program. And they are making some serious accusations that I'm doing this all for the flesh or for my own gain or because I'm greedy for money or I want something out of this deal. And with the meekness of Christ and the humbleness of Christ, would you please pray for me that I can be like him when I get there? I love you, brother. That's exactly like the majority of us are on Sunday morning after we've been fighting, fussing, fuming. Where are the kids' shoes? I don't know. Didn't you put them on the pen? Go get your shoes. For crying out loud, we're going to be late. Come on, you all get in the car. Honey. Nobody around here is like that, right? Man, we're just like on each other's strobes, tearing guts out and get in here now. I'm not going to be late again. Tearing around and being a crazy man at the wheel. I've experienced that for a few days. And then, come on, isn't it like this? And then you scream into the parking lot of church park and everybody gets out. Hi, brother. How you doing? So that happens around here, too? Yeah, it happens to all of us. That's part of flesh. You know, it is. And there's something to be said that Paul was really indignant. He was really upset about these accusations that are being thrown around. And do you know what? Nothing has really changed in 2,000 years. Do you know, after all of this verse-by-verse stuff and explaining this faith promise mission giving, you know there'll still be arguments and talk, and I don't believe it ought to be that way. That bothers me, and I ain't never heard it that way before, and I don't know. Sorry, I'm not picking, but it's just true. It's just the way it is. Some of you might not even agree, and that's okay. Because you're disagreeing with God, not with me. That's why you do verse by verse. Let the Bible speak. But I'm still here to tell you, you know, and you still might have, I know because I do too. Sometimes I wonder about these missionaries. What are they? I didn't look at him at all. You turned around and looked at him. And what are they up to? Are they really, you know, worth their way? And should we get behind them? Should we say, well, I don't think he's, you know. And never mind. I could tell stories and make angels weep about this. You know, I've been around missionaries. People just fighting and fussing over. And his point was, why can't we just emulate our Savior? Why can't we just be like Christ?
you know what? I'm going to ask you to pray for me that I'll be like Christ and that I won't let my mouth get ahead of my... And that's exactly what I said. I don't want to be bold when I get there and start hollering at people or start having to defend myself or trying to get into a fight. That's not what it's about. This is all about Christ. Amen. And I just love that. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Did you catch that? The point is, if you're just obedient to Christ, he'll take care of getting back at the people that have falsely accused you or made accusations. He'll take care of that. You just leave that with God and concentrate on the important thing. This is all about Christ. It's all about getting his gospel out to the regions beyond. We need to get united on this and stop fussing and fuming about it. I mean, this is a wonderful passage that I never paid attention to again before. It's all new. It's kind of like fresh for me. That it's like, wow. And he says, having this to revenge, your obedience is fulfilled. So verse 7, do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. And every single missionary that comes through here is Christ. Do you ever look on the outward appearance? I touched on this last night, but I'm telling you, we're human. You size every single person up, head to toe. And I know you've sized me up. I'm well aware of it. I'm so tickled that the majority of you like me. I'm not assuming anything. Right? No, there's some of you out there can't. Man, I'm seeing some faces now. I'm a little bit nervous. That's another trait we have as human beings. We want to be liked. We want to be accepted. But sometimes that's, you know, the Word of God is so sharp, it's so direct, and it's so right that we're all looking at the wrong things. You're not supposed to be looking at me. I'm not supposed to be looking at you. I'm supposed to be looking at Christ. This is all for Him. It's all about Him. It's all because of Him. So it's really getting me refocused on the whole... This is all in context again. You know how many times we've used these passages to preach a whole separate... You know, trying putting in a point, a really strong point. But all of a sudden, when you put it together with grace giving, this was Paul's argument. He said, man, this warfare, it's a spiritual warfare. This man needs to get to Thailand. There's a spiritual warfare he's going to fight. And it's not the flesh. Stop looking on his outward appearance. Amen. He looks like he's eating plenty. You don't need nothing. I'm sorry I said that. You know, I've heard those words. You know, if you're getting a little over. You folks are doing that to me. I can't even button my button anymore. And we start judging. It's always physical. It's always the outward appearance. How we're dressed, how we're acting, how we're talking. And one's talking pretty fast. And I'm telling you, this will refocus you if you'll pay attention. He said, are you guilty of this? Do you judge? Are you looking on other people on the outward appearance? Hey, they're Christ. I'm Christ. You're Christ. Yes, I'm different than you. And you talk about a man that was different. Paul was totally different. He had some serious problems. He was hunched over, bulging eyes. He could barely see. His eyes were always watering. He always had other people write his letters because you see how large a letter I write when I write it. And that's what he was saying. He has a hard time seeing. So he made bigger letters when he actually wrote. You can see I've signed that because it's huge letters so I could see them. So you know he had physical ailments. And then he goes and tells us that Jesus gave him those to humble him because he went to the third heaven and got to see some things that were unlawful for men to see. And he said, he humbled me, gave me. I'm wondering sometimes, you know, do we ever stop to think when we're so quick to judge and so quick to analyze it, we're in the wrong. We shouldn't be that way. This is Christ's program. It's His program. It's His calling. It's not me to decide whether you're truly called or not. It's me to trust Christ. And He's saying that right here. He said, listen, let himself think this again, that as He is Christ, even so are we Christ. Verse 8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For His letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but His bodily presence is weak and His speech contemptible. He even had a problem talking, I think. Who knows how he talked? How can you listen to this guy? I don't even understand what's coming out of his mouth. He had a contemptible speech. And what do we love? We love those slick-talking, really polished speakers that I ain't one of, obviously. Help me. You know, it's so true, and it's just such an indictment on our humanity that we get the focus in the wrong area, especially with grace giving. This is all about grace giving. It's still in the same context. And so his letters are weighty, his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. How often have you used that verse somewhere else? It's totally tied into what you give and what I give and what you think of the missionary and what you think everything. All of this is tied into grace giving, faith promise missions outreach program of this church. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. The bottom line is God called me, touched me, equipped me, and sent me to you. Somebody that happened to, that came here to this very place, God called him, equipped him, and sent him, and he came and preached the gospel of Christ here. Now we need to equip others to preach the gospel in other places, and that's what he heads right into, and this is the most favorite part of everybody's Faith Promise Conference. Verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. You understand what that word enlarged means. Enriched, equipped, that your giving will equip us to do what? According to the rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. And not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. All in the same vein of thinking, right? All in the same line of thinking. We are all looking at the wrong things when we come to this subject of grace giving. We decide, we judge the person by how they look, how they act, how they talk, what they say, you know, all they're saying. We judge it all that way. We're looking at everything on the outward appearance. He says, stop doing that. Don't do this. It simply comes down to your faith. And my hope is your faith will be increased. That's what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth. I'm tired of all the bickering and the infighting and all the talking and between y'all, and we're all, I mean, we have problems. Is that true? Is this a perfect church? Does one exist? If it did, don't join it. I've always heard that all my life. I always want to say it. Yeah, you'll ruin it. I mean, so yeah, So what does it mean then? Why would a guy like me stand here? What am I trying to say to you? This whole passage, same thing Paul is saying to them. Get your eyes off of each other, off of the world, off of the cares of the world, off of everything that's weighing you down, and lift them up to the one that's holy and worthy of your praise. Focus your attention on him and what he asked you to do. It's that simple. It's really laid out that simply. You have your attention, your focus in the wrong place. Get it out of there. And it's up to you to make the decision. You're right. And some of us are guilty of, we do compare ourselves among ourselves. We'll even go, how much you give in faith promise this year? And you might even get embarrassed by some giving more or some giving less. Or you want to know. You kind of do want to. Doesn't everybody kind of want to know a little bit? And are you a little bit proud when you, I'm sure I give more than most people here. Nobody says that. That never happens here. I'm really loved that I came to such a humble church, such a spiritual church. No, because I'm human. Why am I standing here? Why did I go over that? Why did the Lord talk to me and say, Doug, you're guilty of all this, just as much as anybody else. You always do the same things all the time. The minute a missionary comes to my church, I am guilty of sizing him up in about 20 seconds. I've got him figured out. I know where he was trained biblically. I know, I think about all, and I'm so guilty of immediately judging him comparing him among myself, himself, others. We do this. We all do it subconsciously, whether you want to admit it or not. And you're not wise. You got your mind in the wrong place. You're focused on the wrong thing. What needs to unite us is the cause of Christ and getting the gospel of Christ to the regions beyond. That's it in a nutshell. Well, how can we do that better? I'm glad you asked. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap. It's still the same subject. Preaching the gospel to the regions beyond. All of it was in context. You understand? This is up to you, church. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reach more of the world for Christ. It's that simple. And then that added blessing of last night, I can't get away from it. I just love it. He that ministereth seed to the sower also ministereth seed for your bread and fruits for your righteousness. There you have it, folks. Morningstar Baptist Church, it's up to you. The ball is in your court. The message has been laid in your lap. You are all according as everyone purposeth in his heart. So it's personal, it's planned, it's persistent. You remember all that PPP stuff. Okay, I'm trying to wrap it all up in one little nice, little tidy package. It is for every single individual person, and I don't think they're too young. Amen. What about a child that gets an allowance? Could you teach them to give to the mission outreach program of the church? You think they'll be blessed for that? Yeah. Teach that principle when they're young. Amen. Give a portion of your allowance. Teach them. Watch the blessings of God when they sow bountifully, and God blesses them bountifully. It's a wonderful principle that needs to be applied in every single life. Amen. In this church. Amen. Everybody needs to participate some way or another. And not everybody has to participate at the same level. We learned that too, so it's kind of a relief. It's not according to what you don't have. The Bible said it's according to what a man has. That's what you choose from. You choose that portion of what you have and say, Lord, I want to give this to further the gospel of Christ to the regions beyond us. And that's the whole purpose in a nutshell. I think three chapters really lay it out so so plain, so concise, so simple to understand, and yet we're still getting bogged down in the whole first part of chapter 10. I'm a little bit frosted. Your blood's boiling, and there'll still be a fight. Don't do it. Don't give in. Don't give in to the flesh. We're not warring in the flesh here. This is not a fight between us. We have a spiritual warfare we're battling. Satan does not want this to happen in this place, and he will do whatever he can to disrupt the giving, the grace giving of this church for the outreach program of missions. He will. And all he has to do is get a little argument started and a little boiling or frosting, and pretty soon half the church will be on that side and half will be on this side. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it hasn't happened because you're kind of spread evenly. Is this the spiritual side? And that's what I'm so excited to see is this right here. Do you know how many Baptist churches nobody sits on the front row? This is where the honey comes from the bucket. This is the glory pew. You know why? Because you get no distractions. Man, you get a direct line from the man of God. What happens back there? You see everything. Kids being passed, notes being passed. It's distracting. I'm glad there's not a lot of people between y'all here, so I give you a break. I'm sorry. I'm really not picking on you. I'm just trying to be real. The reality is what it's. We've got to wake up to this thing. It's all about Christ. It's not about us, and it's not about between us, and it's not a competition. It's not even a debate. It's simply laid out. If you want the gospel to go to the regions beyond, get involved in the program. Amen. Get involved. At least start sparingly if you can't do it bountifully. Start somewhere. You will reap. Amen. You're going to reap even sparingly. But you'll find out that God is real. And it's all real. It really does work. And faith works. And your faith will grow. And pretty soon you'll be given a little more than sparingly. One day you're going to achieve that bountiful giving. And you're going to just say, why didn't I do this from the beginning? God's so good to me. He's been so good to my family. He has blessed me. He's blessed our church. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise Jesus. I want to get involved. It's up to you. It really is. It's that simple. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, again, we're just standing here in your presence. We are indeed so grateful that you are here in our midst. We have gathered in your name. We are trying to give glory to you by just rereading the words that you wrote down thousands of years ago through your Holy Spirit-inspired writers. Father, thank you for letting it be still alive and real and powerful today, just as it was then. And thank you for touching our lives, our hearts, and giving us an opportunity once again to go over these particular passages of Scripture, which do teach us there is a giving program that you designed for us to give above our tithe and love offerings, that the gospel may go to the regions beyond us. As Paul's hope was, so is ours. Help our faith to be increased, that we could enlarge the abilities of all the missionaries that have come through here to go to the regions beyond and preach your glorious gospel. We love you and we thank you for being with us, leading, guiding, directing us, blessing us, and using us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.